Good afternoon. I'm Kathy Lewis. Next weekend, you can get your passport stamped in 28 nations without leaving the United States. In fact, without leaving Hampton Roads. On today's broadcast, we'll talk about how you can explore the world in the context of Norfolk's NATO Festival. In advance of next weekend's festivities, we'll consider the history of the North Atlantic Treaty Organization and where the NATO headquarters here fits into the mix. All that and information on a terrific new sailing program after this news from NPR. Minutes past noon. Great to have you with us today. We have a jam-packed show talking about some really neat activities coming up next weekend in connection with NATO Fest. We'll talk about the North Atlantic Treaty Organization, what Norfolk's special long-term connection to that organization is, and we'll be glad to have with us, among others, Lieutenant General Phil Smith, who is the Chief of Staff at the NATO Allied Command Transformation here in Norfolk, and we'll do all that in just a moment. We'll also meet Bill Bain, who's the director of the Sail Nauticus program, terrific program that is putting the art of sailing into the hands of all children. So we'll talk about some initiatives there that are not just targeted to children, but in fact are targeted to adults as well. And in the house today, we're glad to have folks from Youth Lead Peninsula, which is a collaboration of the Virginia Peninsula Chamber of Commerce and Newport News Public Schools. And they're going all over the region, going to different companies and organizations. And we're very glad to have them here with us today at WHRO. We're also glad to let you know that Smithfield's own Bria Kelly is just knocking it out of the park on The Voice. She competed earlier this week on the final night of the playoffs. You can read the review in the Daily Press. And as you're about to hear, she had the Rolling Stones' Wild Horses, and boy, was she ever riding them into the top 12. Some of the reviewers, her teammate, her team captain, I should say, Usher, wrote, "The lungs on Bria Kelly are insane. Retweet if you think she killed it." Let's see. Is a big old voice. There's no question about that. Bobby Oliver, or Olivier, I should say, who recapped the episode for a paper in New Jersey, said another incredible rock vocal from Bria, who, as Blake has put it, is the main reason why Usher's team is a threat this year. When she climbs up to those raspy high notes, she's in a league all her own. Great song choice as well. So, best of success, best of continued success to Smithfield's Bria Kelly, 18 years old and a senior in high school. That is a voice that does not sound like it's coming out of an 18-year-old high school senior. That's a fact. Enormously talented. We wish her continued success as she competes on The Voice now in the top 12, 11 minutes past the hour. There's a terrific new sailing program underway at Nauticus, and we're glad to have Bill Bain with us today. He directs Sail Nauticus. Bill, good to have you with us today.
It's good to be here, Kathy. Thanks.
So Nauticus is such a great place anyway, and there's all kinds of recurring and renewing exhibits all the time. I'm always amazed at people who say they haven't been there in a long time. I think, well, you should really go back because there's a lot of neat and cool stuff going on down there, not the least of which is the Sail Nauticus Academy. Tell us what happens there.
Well, the Sail Nauticus Academy is a relationship that we've built with the Norfolk Public School System, where we recruit 80 sixth graders, and they're with us throughout the entire academic year. They earn a physical education and health credit for their participation in the after-school program, and they also go through a 9-week learn-to-swim program through a relationship with the Norfolk Park and Rec. They do that during the winter months when it's a little too cold to be sailing.
Yeah.
And then they go through a practical test coming into the as they graduate from the program in their sixth grade year, as they're rising seventh graders for their acceptance into the seventh grade year. And then, so the idea is that the academy goes through 3 years throughout their whole middle school careers, so sixth, seventh, and eighth grade. So we're looking to go long and deep with the same heartbeat as long as we can.
That's
see how
terrific.
Much we can impact them.
That's amazing. You know, this it's such an important thing to know how to swim and how to sail in a region like this that is so dominated by water. We're at 12 minutes past the hour talking about the Sail Nauticus program. So this program has been underway now for, it's the first year, so that's always an interesting time to test things and see what works and what doesn't. And what did you come out of that experience understanding?
Well, I think that Norfolk's a unique community in that I was able to set this program kind of get it rolling because I was able to build relationships with the Norfolk Public School System. And so that's what's made it so unique. So I think we have learned that we're very lucky, but at the same time, we have a lot more work to do. And what I mean by that is retention within the program.
Yeah.
It's an entire academic year. They come for about 33 times over the year. So
do students have to apply for this?
They do.
Yeah.
So they go through an application process that lasts about 3 weeks. They have to fill out an application, then they need to go through an interview. And like last year, we had about 120 applicants for 80 spots for the first year. I think this coming year, we're going to be overwhelmed with the amount of applications that are going to come in because we've already been doing our recruiting this year, February, March, and we're just finishing up now in April for fifth graders.
Sailing is one of those things that just, it's a great experience and teaches you so much. What do you think it teaches these kids?
Well, I think it teaches them a lot about craftsmanship, communication, and teamwork. And I think that those are three pillars that will instill confidence that leads to better leadership. And I think that, in sailing, if you don't trim the sails right, you don't go to where you want to be.
Yeah.
If you don't listen to your instructors, you don't tie the knot, it's going to come off and you're not going to go anywhere. And you can't sail alone. You need to have someone else to do it with. So you need to communicate with them, and you need to communicate it in a fashion that is respectful and
consistent, right? I mean, there's a separate language about all this.
There's a separate language to the whole thing.
You know what you're doing.
There's a lot to learn, and you need to work as a team to get anywhere. So, like, a lot of our structure of our daily activities are around not too much competition, but a little competition. I mean, everything's culminating in a regatta. So there's a regatta coming up for the sixth graders. And so they're all trying desperately to be number one.
Yeah.
And I think that there's a lot of research out there that says when you engage young boys and girls in athletic activities, it's a really positive thing. So.
You know, the thing that also occurs to me about sailing is that and this is one of those great life lessons too, is that the environment can change and you sort of have to deal with the environment as it is because you can't change it. It's something over which you don't have control.
I think that's character development. I think getting yourself outside your comfort zone, which about 99% of these kids are outside their comfort zone, being on a small boat, being in a pool. These are environments that are new to about 95% of the participants that we had this past year.
Wow.
And we anticipate that trend to continue.
Are you looking for children with lower socioeconomic levels? Does that matter in the program as you do this selection process?
Yes, that is definitely part of the criteria of our selection at the end of the day, based on where they live. But we are looking for about 60% kids that come from financially disadvantaged backgrounds. And we want 40% that are not from financially disadvantaged backgrounds. So we can mix them up. Mm-hmm. They can learn to communicate with each other. That's our ripple.
Yeah. Yeah. It's such a great point. You did a similar program, I should say similar in that it was sailing and boats and water and kids. Mm-hmm. There were a lot of things that were not similar about it in New York. Tell us about that.
Yeah. In New York City, I put together an organization just like this, we worked with 9th through 12th grade, and so we were able to get academic credit up there in science and math and physical education. But some of the bigger differences were that I wasn't able to get into the sweet spot, which is 6th, 7th, and 8th grade. The younger you can go with children, the better, for one. Two, I didn't have a community like Norfolk. New York City is a tough community to get to a point where you can raise funds and have it financed properly. So it's been a real privilege to come to a small community and have some leadership here that witness organizations like mine and others around the country that were able to engage their community through the medium of sailing or boating, using the waterfront as a classroom. Mm-hmm. And that's made a huge difference for my own ability to be creative as I design programs and hire, and you know, without that massive weight of financial stress that a lot of nonprofits have to go through. I mean, we are going to feel it, but we don't feel it right now because we are ascending right now. Mm. And when we plateau is when the real challenges will come in, and we'll have to continue to ascend.
And when you think about these valuable lessons that these young people learn, and certainly what it's like to work in a community like this, I guess I am always struck by the degree to which this community is defined by the water, and yet a lot of children and certainly a lot of adults don't necessarily know the rudiments of sailing, and you have some opportunities for adults to learn as well.
Yeah. No, Sail Nauticus is kind of three-pronged. One is this flagship program, this after-school academy, the Sail Nauticus Academy. The second is our summer camps. We have an interesting way that we have put those together through partnering with city programs and kind of making 50% of the boat coming from programs like the Boys and Girls Club, and the other half coming from people that pay for their children to go to summer camp. And then the third, which is really, really important, is the adult programs. And we have Learn to Sail. We have an adult membership now. We have corporate outings. We have two-hour joyrides, really, called Sailabouts. And the more that the community starts to take advantage of the unique opportunity that we're offering, access to brand-new, beautiful sailboats in downtown Norfolk, the finances from those services help to underwrite the after-school program. So more and more people are going to learn about the after-school program through getting a great service, like getting access to the water on a date night, or joining the membership and racing on Mondays, because we're going to have all one design boats and we're going to have one design racing. So these are really unique, awesome opportunities. And it's very, very hard to find a public organization like ours, when I say public as opposed to a yacht club, where a yacht club is very hard to get in. Mm-hmm. Here you come in, you lay your money down, and you get access to great boats. And as you learn more and more about what we're up to during the winter months and why we're here to begin with, which is really the mission, and the mission comes from those that have put up funds to date to work with kids that come from disadvantaged backgrounds. As you take advantage of the wonderful service we're going to provide you, I think ends up being a pretty good circle.
A win-win, as they say. Yeah.
I've heard people refer to it as like a value-based business. There's
social entrepreneurship.
I guess so.
To some extent. Yeah. And that's what's very cool about so much of this, is that when you can do a great thing for people who need it and for people whose lives will be enriched by that experience, when you can create a fundraising mechanism that helps you spread that word and also helps share those benefits, makes a huge difference.
Yeah, I think it's a win-win. I think we're set up perfectly to do it.
So as you think about what you've learned over the last year, if you'd have known then what you know now, anything you would have done differently?
Anything I would have done differently to date? You know what? I think I have been very lucky in coming out directly from New York City and just putting together what I was doing up there. And coming down here, I think some of the things we would have done differently is, or we're changing tacks all the time right now.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So
that's a good sale. That's a sales strategy, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, we really are. We're not getting too far off the axis, but we're changing tacks to pull things together. You know, honestly, I wouldn't change a thing. Mm. I think that we've done everything right to date. I think, you know, we're going to put more attention in the after-school program in the areas of the community that need a little more attention so that we can not have retention issues.
That's a huge challenge in so many of these kinds of programs.
Yeah, but I think we're set up to do it. I think we're set up to do it well, and I think there'll be a big difference. I mean, it's been great this year. I mean, this year we have a 20% attrition rate. I think our goal is to bring that down to 10%. So how are we going to address that? Well, that's what I'm pouring over with my staff constantly.
So when you say 20% attrition rate, I mean, we were just talking with some young people who are visiting us at the station today. And one of the things they were saying that I was really intrigued by, and I've heard this from other groups of young people, is that there is a lot of expectation on young people with siblings for them to be very actively engaged in caring for siblings. And so, you know, sometimes those activities can be a challenge when you have that expectation to give you the freedom to participate in a sailing program or some other after-school activities.
Yeah, I would agree with you. There are a number of issues why we suffer from attrition, and that was one of them. You know,
yeah.
The other was after-school programs are very difficult for kids to get home in time to eat and do their homework and go to bed.
Great point.
So that's a huge issue. So we have changed tacks. We were going after a science credit for their eighth grade year. Well, we're now going to an SOL tutoring. So we're going to offer part of our curriculum over their seventh grade year is going to be mandatory study halls.
Yeah.
So we're going to address this.
And this is all very much in the realm of what service nonprofits do. They tweak it and tack it and see what you have to do. So you've got some open house events coming up.
Yep, we have one Friday and we have one Sunday. These are open houses where anyone can sign up at sailnauticus.org. And they can sign up to come on down and go sailing for free. We're going to have light refreshments and drinks.
And so then there's another one the following week as well, right?
Yes. I'm sorry. Yeah. So it's every Monday, every Friday from 4 to 7 and every Sunday from 1 to 4 throughout the month of April. So we have three more coming up.
Great.
Two or three,
that's a great opportunity to check and see. That's
great.
Yeah. Well, listen, Bill, welcome to Hampton Roads. Continued success with Sail Nauticus. And you can learn more at sailnauticus.org. And we'll be back in just a moment. Welcome back. We're 25 minutes past the hour. Some really exciting activities are coming up next weekend all over Norfolk. It's the 2014 Norfolk NATO Festival. And this is a festival that's undergone really dramatic change over the last several years. But what has not changed is the commitment of this community to NATO and the relationship of this community to NATO. And so we've got some folks in the studio today we're very glad to have with us who can speak about that. Lieutenant General Phil Jones is with us today. He's the Chief of Staff at NATO's Allied Command Transformation Headquarters. Nice to see you. Welcome. Thank you for being here
today. Thank you very much
indeed. It's been a pleasure to meet you in other places and lovely to have you on the air today as well. So we'll talk about some of the current challenges for NATO and what that relationship has been like over the years. Also glad to have Mal Branch with us today, who's the chair of the board for the 2014 Norfolk NATO Festival. Thanks for stepping up to that, Mal. Nice to see you again.
It's a real pleasure.
And Trish Carrier is the executive director of the Norfolk NATO Festival, under whose leadership so much of this change has taken place. Trish, nice to have you with us today.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
And the young lady of the hour is Meredith Arndt, who is the winner of the Norfolk NATO Festival's Model NATO Challenge Scholarship Competition. You probably saw her in the newspaper this morning in the Beacon. She probably hasn't been able to get in and out of the parking lot at school for all of her fans. She is the 2015 class president at Tallwood High School. And you're a junior, right?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay,
thank you.
Great. Nice to have you with us today. Maybe we'll start with you. Tell us about the Model NATO Challenge, because this is one of the new big changes that's happened in recent years.
Yeah, it's great. It's this wonderful program that they have for students across Hampton Roads, where they do a simulation of the North Atlantic Council, which is the civilian decision-making body of NATO. And its goal is to teach students consensus building across all levels.
Yeah, there's not enough of that going on, is there? We need some more of that all
the
way around, right?
Right.
And so how does it work? Do you get assigned to a certain country? How does that work?
So what we do is you send in an application, an essay, and then once you get through, they give you a mentor from the country you will be representing. I put my top three, and I got my first. So
yeah.
I got
Which
to
was?
Greece.
Greece,
yes.
Okay. And what was interesting to you about Greece?
It was a country that I had not known a lot about before, and obviously they've been in the news since 2012, 2010.
They've had some financial
challenges. Right, lots of financial issues. But I thought it was great to see how, even though there's certain issues that other countries may have, they still have a huge role in decision-making bodies of
NATO.
And
so who was your mentor?
My mentor was General Konstantinos Modizis. He was a great mentor. I had a fantastic time. I learned so much about Greece and how they interact with other countries, which was, it was a great experience.
Yeah. I'm told that these mentors who are, you know, the real deal, take this very seriously.
Oh, yeah, they do.
And they're a little competitive about it.
Yeah, a little bit. When we were sitting in the room, there was a lot of looks around when their kids would say anything. And it's just as much of a competition for them as it is for us. But it's, I think, a little bit less strenuous for them.
Sure. So there's this big simulation, right?
Yes.
And there's a challenge thrown at you.
Yes, we get a crisis simulation just as any NATO. For example, if this was the real North Atlantic Council, the Ukrainian crisis that came up, that would technically be their crisis. So we got a crisis thrown at us as well.
And what was your crisis?
Our crisis was that there was a different shift in piracy from the Horn of Africa to the Western New Guinea. And so we had to decide on what was more important, what we needed to do to change the situation. So, and there were other minor things as well that we had to take into account. But the goal was coming together to make one decision.
Mm-hmm. Wow. I mean, and it's such a great, these challenges are very much have their shadows in the real world, General Jones, it seems to me.
Well, that's absolutely right. And it's one of my messages to all of the students, who I have to say were all incredibly impressive, is that, that sort of challenge reflects the reality. The diplomacy of NATO, 28 nations coming together with a lot of partners, institutions and other nations to make decisions, is hard work, hard intellectual work that requires an awful lot of effort.
There are, you know this from time to time, there are people who will say, why do we still need NATO? You know, we sort of, Europe is in good shape. And I think these recent events might suggest we might want to rethink that, huh?
Well, no, I don't, it's not a question of rethinking it, because NATO is founded on the principles in which we operate now. Why do we need NATO? NATO has been doing great work over the past 10 years in Afghanistan, Libya, the Balkans, all these sort of things. It is part of our collective security, and the current crisis has just thrown that into stark relief.
And I think there are a lot of people who have suggested, well, things are good, and then you see something like this come up, and you sort of think back that, or sort of lean back into this relationship that is a relationship of very long standing.
In sorry, just in what way?
Well, that it seems to me that when this current NATO, the current crisis with Ukraine, I've heard a lot of people say, you know, things are good in Europe right now, and the United States contributes a lot to this, and so maybe this is not what we need to be doing. And it seems to me this relationship has been underway for so long that in some respects, when you have a long-term relationship, it is easy to take it for granted, and it's easy to figure that things are good and forget that part of the reason things are good is because you have this long-standing relationship.
No, absolutely. There's many ways of thinking about this. One analogy is that great insurance policy that you always think is terribly expensive and demanding,
exactly,
and burdensome,
yeah,
until you need it.
Right.
And the crisis at the moment has demonstrated in sharp relief, as I said before, exactly why we need this relationship and why we need this insurance policy for collective defense and security. Europe and the United States would not be living in the world it is today without NATO's existence over the past 60 years.
So as you think about this crisis we're facing right now, give us a sense of Ukraine's relationship to NATO and what's going on with their requests and what is possible within the confines of the alliance.
NATO's had a very long-standing relationship with a wide number of nations in Europe, many of which are now in NATO. Which has been called partnerships. You have allies, the 28 of which are now in NATO, the United States, my own nation, and the other 26. We have a range of relationships around the world, partnerships, which is a different distinction. They don't enjoy the benefits of the Washington Treaty. They don't enjoy the benefits of collective defense, which is Article 5 of the Washington Treaty. The partners are all different. They span from Colombia in South America to countries in the Middle East and indeed to Ukraine. And those relationships are founded on sharing common values, military interoperability. Many of these partners have been part of our operations in Afghanistan for many years. Ukraine has a strong relationship with NATO where we train together, we share interoperability standards, they take part in NATO readiness programs and all sorts of things. And we've got an intimate relationship, but they sit outside of that collective defense, Article 5 of the Washington Treaty, which is the foundation of NATO. So the relationship is somewhat different. Mm. And we have people in Kiev last week, this week, working with the Ukrainians. We were before, and we will in the future again. It's quite a complicated relationship when it comes to the security paradigm here. And this has been one of the issues that has been running through headquarters NATO since the crisis started many weeks ago now, as to exactly what are the obligations to our partners in terms of hardcore collective defense. What are our relationships? What is the relationship with Ukraine? What part does NATO, which is a military organization, play in the management of this crisis, over and above reassurance and deterrence and those sort of things? Because there are many aspects that sit outside of the military domain.
It's such an interesting point. I was just talking last week with somebody who has just come back from Afghanistan, having served in the NATO force there, and he said he thought Americans really don't understand what NATO does and the power, the influence, and the good work that it's doing in some of these places like Afghanistan. He told me, he said, I got to tell you, I'm not sure I would have necessarily thought those elections would have come off, and he really credited the work of the NATO forces with making that happen.
That's very gracious of him to say so in many respects. And I think NATO as an institution taking over the lead for the campaign from the two or three different operations that ran in Afghanistan in the early years that I remember very well was of huge importance. As I say to our team in headquarters, Allied Command for Transformation, the art to strategy is firstly in making the strategic decisions, but then having the endurance and persistence and the cohesive tissue to implement those strategic decisions. And it's not easy to do that. So NATO has been the driving force behind the campaign in Afghanistan, giving it the endurance, the stamina, the resources, the organization, the construct to have the political and military bit working together to persist in implementing Afghan and the community of interest NATO political decisions around that. And it'll be exactly the same in terms of managing the Ukraine crisis. The NATO plays a part in it. It's not its entirety. The EU has a part in that. Our heads of state all weigh into that. Quite often, our own nations back home don't understand what it is the institution does to bring all of that together. We have a summit this year in September for NATO that brings our heads of state together. We have the 28 nations that were represented in the NATO model challenge, where the ambassadors come together every single day. Mm. The EU has a similar body that brings our nations together to forge strategy and then implement it persistently over the years.
This relationship building is just so critically important, yeah. But it's complex and it takes time. And it just does. We're at 25 minutes before the hour. We're talking about NATO Fest coming up next weekend, talking about it in the context of this unique and terrific relationship that Norfolk specifically has had with NATO for 60 years or so. Mal Branch is the chair of this year's 2014 NATO Festival. And Mal, you're a Navy veteran yourself, former commanding officer of the George Washington, I believe.
That's right.
I knew if I said that wrong, you'd come across the table at me. So I'm so happy I got it right. I wonder, we're going to talk about the festival without doubt, but I wonder, as someone who has led and who has commanded and who has worked in these kinds of environments, I wonder what your observations are about the about what General Jones was talking about, this idea of the complexity of it and the idea that it gives nations the ability to be persistent, which really is required.
Well, in full disclosure, my last assignment in the Navy was at then Sackland at the NATO
that.
Headquarters. So I had firsthand at that time the opportunity to observe this consensus building. And I've always been a big believer in that. I believed in that in my command on George Washington and other opportunities I had in the Navy. So I really think it's very important that the team, whatever that team may be, pull in the same direction. Yeah. So I think there's a lot of wisdom. And it's exciting that NATO is still and continues to not only be strong, but stronger by the number of countries who have chosen to join and have been part of this alliance.
It's a dramatic increase in recent years from where
it's
it was previously.
And in fact, that's why the city has had, or not had to, but chose in partnering with NATO to change the festival. It has morphed, if you will, from the old Azalea Festival, which really was focused on a queen and a lot of ceremony and children and princesses, to a much more comprehensive celebration of NATO, not just a celebration, but trying to inform the entire region how important it is to have this major headquarters, the only one outside of Europe, here in our city, in our region. And the wealth of value that it brings to this region is just extraordinary.
Well, I mean, if you think about the numbers of representatives of these nations who are living here in the community, I was struck the other night at the Volunteer Hampton Roads dinner, and I was glad to see you there, Mal Branch, by the fact that there were the children of the folks representing these 28 nations who do all kinds of community service projects. They're very actively engaged, and they were honored for their service the other night, which
Well, you'll have to have Trish tell you more about it, but those are our youth ambassadors, and they are the children of the NATO families that are here, and they are all over
the
this
place.
Region doing volunteer work in our communities.
And what a great experience for them. I hope it's a great experience. I hope we have welcomed them well for them to come here. We're 22 minutes before the hour. It's 440-2665 or 1-800-940-2240. The activities get underway next weekend, and Trish Carrier probably won't sleep between now and then if I know her well. She's executive director of the Norfolk NATO Festival. Trish, thank you for being here today. You're in close to 0 hour
yes,
now,
we're
aren't
in
you?
Countdown mode
yeah, exactly.
at the moment.
So,
yes.
So give us a sense of what's going to happen and when do the festivities get underway?
Oh, my goodness. Well, things are getting underway beginning Monday, the 21st. The World Affairs Council of Greater Hampton Roads is hosting their NATO Fest banquet, and General Palomares will be speaking. More information available on their website if you're interested in attending. But they nod us every year with the NATO Fest banquet. Then we proceed to Friday, the 25th of April. There will be a NATO flag-raising ceremony in Scope Plaza beginning at 5 p.m., free and open to the public.
Really beautiful event.
It's gorgeous, and it's an opportunity to see all 28 uniforms and hear all 28 national songs played by Fleet Forces Band. Immediately following that is the Hullabaloo and then NATO Night at the Virginia International Tattoo with the Virginia Arts Festival.
That's the best fun ever.
It
really
is.
It's just so fun.
And our diplomats from the Model NATO Challenge will be rock stars that night. They will be introduced on stage prior to the performance, and they will be watching the show with a parent. So we also will have VIP seating for them at the flag raising ceremony.
Nice. Well done. You'll want that. Bring your sunglasses. It's a sunny day.
Yes, definitely.
That's what I remember
it will
about
be
it.
A sunny day.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a beautiful thing. You know, I mean, it's a very evocative thing to see these flags being raised and to hear all of these national anthems. And you just really get a sense, I think, of Norfolk's connection to Europe, which is strong, has been for a long time, and is also strong from a commerce perspective. I'm really struck by the number of European companies that either have significant operations here or are based here. You know, it's very interesting. And I think we lose track of that over time.
We do. And, you know, traditionally we were part of the Norfolk Chamber of Commerce years ago. So we are looking through our strategic planning.
Oh, this whole
planning.
Thing evolved out of the chamber?
Yes, it did.
Wow.
And we're trying to embrace that portion of our mission to engage industry.
Yeah.
And so that's look for more in the future.
Okay.
Please.
All right. Yeah, because you don't have enough to do with this NATO Fest next week.
We may have to hire more staff. But then the next morning, we kick off our 61st annual Parade of Nations, which will step off at 10 a.m. and proceed from Harbor Park through Waterside Drive up Granby Street. And all 28 nations will be represented. We also have military bands that will be visiting, performing in the tattoo, will also perform in our parade. We are a commemorative partner of the Vietnam War commemoration this year, and they will be honored with a float in the parade, and also they will be joining us at NATO Fest with an informational booth. NATO Fest immediately follows the parade in Town Point Park, and it goes from the end of the parade until 5 p.m. But all 28 member countries will have tents located throughout the park. We will have international beer, international food, entertainment, and we're working with the Girl Scouts. So the Girl Scouts can come out and get a passport stamped, and they can earn a fun patch for getting all 28 countries stamped in their passport. But this is also available to all children attending. Yeah. We have plenty of copies, so we encourage
everybody. And all adults.
And all adults, too. It's a great day. We have a wiener dog costume contest for the best dressed. I know. We went there. We went to the dogs.
Apparently so.
But we're very excited. So we will have a costume contest, and we will also have a strong...
Do you know how many people there are in this community putting their dogs in costumes?
I hope so. There should be, because it's going to be fun. And a strongman beer stein hoist contest.
Nice.
So prizes will be gym memberships and whatnot for the person who can hold a 1 liter full bottle. Yeah. So
alrighty
a good
then.
Time.
All righty.
Please
then.
Come out.
General Jones, I'm going to ask you something I'm confident you've never been asked in all of your media career, and that is, do people dress up their dogs in Great Britain with the same reckless abandon that they do here in the United States?
You know, I'm not entirely sure they do yet, but like most things in the United States, they get across the Atlantic pretty quickly.
I warn you of that. You have been warned. It's not a good thing. I'm just going to tell you. It's fun, but you know, I have a feeling that when the dogs find their voices, we're going to have some conflict around that. Could be wrong. We're at 440-2665 or 1-800-940-2240. General Jones, you've been here what, since fall of this year?
I've been here just 6 months.
Yeah. So I wonder how you found the community and how your colleagues find it to live in Hampton Roads.
Well, something that Trish has heard me say before is that if you come from an environment where communities normally form committees to get rid of garrisons, to come here to find a committee that exists to celebrate it and indeed have a festival is just overwhelming. But, you know, I've lived in your great nation before. I was an attaché in Washington for 2.5 years. So I know the welcome that we get internationally. I know the welcome that NATO gets here. And it is almost overwhelming. It is absolutely wonderful. The community is incredibly supportive, incredibly knowledgeable. A lot of that comes from the World Affairs Council and the Norfolk NATO Fest and other things like that. We have great interaction that in many parts of Europe you don't kind of see with the armed forces.
That's,
we admire it greatly.
That's really interesting. And I'm so glad to hear that because it's a great gift to have these folks in the community. And I'm certain now tell me something, Meredith, have you encountered the NATO kids in Tallwood and around in different places?
I have. A lot of my friends do go to Princess Anne, and that's where a lot of the different NATO youth ambassadors go. And everybody there is very supportive. They're all very enthusiastic about learning about NATO. It's a very knowledgeable community, as they said before,
yes.
that is really looking towards being able to spread this knowledge throughout the country.
Now, are
well.
You in the Global Studies program at Tallwood?
I am.
Yeah. Okay. And so what is your interest in that, and what are your aspirations on the other side of that experience?
I have found through my experience in student leadership, as well as all of the different opportunities of getting the chance to be a World Affairs Council intern and being a part of Malta United Nations and other things, that I would love to be able to go into politics one day and hopefully be studying at Georgetown at the School of Foreign Service and try and make the world a better place with all that consensus building as well.
You know, if you could settle on a goal, that would be joking. You're too all out there, Meredith. You got to settle. Focus, girl, focus.
Sorry.
Well done. I'm being completely sarcastic.
Oh, definitely. Thank you.
And so you're the president of your class this year, too. So that that must have also been helpful in terms of the leadership skills you develop along the way.
Yeah.
Tell us about that competition, though, because so you're representing Greece. What was Greece's perspective on this this question that was put before you?
First, I had initially thought that maybe we should try and come to go with what the group was saying, but then I got a message from, I guess, our perm rep. We got specific messages to kind of sway the debate in another way. So then I thought about it and I said, yes, we shouldn't be trying to focus on Western African piracy because there's other things that are not affecting the Mediterranean in any way. Therefore, we should be focusing a lot of our time where we're finding new and significant changes in Eastern African piracy. So with that, it was really easy to kind of give everybody the reasoning for it and then try and get everybody to come on to a consensus in another direction.
Yeah. This consensus thing is enormously challenging and difficult, takes a long time. So good for you for getting that experience with that. We're at 14 minutes before the hour. It's 440-2665 or 1-800-940-2240. Wondering what your experience of the NATO representatives is in this community. They live all over Hampton Roads. They live in housing communities just right, Trish, all over Hampton Roads.
Everywhere. In fact, when General Jones was talking about relationship building, we build relationships with the NATO families that are here, and we hope that the community comes out to meet some of these families because as a military wife, military brat, we've sacrificed, and so are these families. They're coming over with families to another country and adapting and learning the language in some cases, and these people are just amazing.
Yeah.
Generous, diverse,
I would think that would be a pretty compelling thing to do, to move to a place where, in many cases, that English would not be the primary language. Maybe a very challenging thing to move to another nation like that. When you think about this point of integrating into the community, you know, General Jones, I wonder about that from a language perspective. Certainly not an issue for you, but for some of your colleagues where English, maybe they don't speak English that well. I'm talking about families now. How do they find that? How do they find that in this community?
I mean, they find it one of those challenges of coming, but they know what they're coming into, and for many of them, this is one of the great benefits. For most people who come here, this is a once-in-a-life lifetime opportunity to live in your great nation and get all of the benefits, and the family learns the language very quickly. We provide language training for people in the headquarters where need be. Of course, all the children go to the schools here and they become bilingual overnight and they go home speaking their own language with a wonderful American accent. But I have to say that your universities are incredibly supportive for the older folks as well. We have a whole range of post-high school people who are at the ODU.
Oh, really?
Things where programs and scholarships and bursaries and things like that are on offer. So families integrate very quickly. This is not something they see as a negative element of coming here. This is one of the great positives.
Really?
To
That's
come
great.
Here and understand America better and learn the language and learn the culture and everything else.
Yeah, I was talking with at an event with one of the NATO representatives who was telling me that their children now are interested in coming to school here. You know, so it is a really broadening experience, and establishing those relationships across the Atlantic is certainly valuable indeed. We're coming up on 11 7 minutes before the hour. If you are just joining us, we're talking about the big Norfolk NATO Fest. It's coming up next weekend. If you cannot find something in this that will be inspiring to you, I have nothing for you. That's what I want to say about that. Website where people can get the full details of everything?
Yes, norfolknatofestival.org.
And that's where you can find the entire calendar of activities. Really starts to get underway early next week. And then, of course, the big flag raising on Friday at 5 o'clock at the Scope. Again, bring your sunglasses. Critically important. I did not do that 1 year. It was a bad mistake. There's going to be a great flag raising ceremony with the national anthems of all of the nations being played, which is terrific. Later that evening at Scope, there will be, of course, the Virginia International Tattoo honoring Vietnam veterans and their families. And then on Saturday, that's the day. Wow, that is going to be Saturday is going to be a fun day. A Parade of Nations downtown starting at 10 downtown Norfolk, followed by NATO Fest at the Town Point Park. And we've been talking a lot about the NATO Fest opportunities for children, but the fact is, this is a great family event, a great
adult
event.
It is, all ages. In fact, we've been working with Jeff Mazey of Veer Magazine, and in this most recent anniversary edition of Veer, you will find an insert that lists all of our activities. It also discusses the Model NATO Challenge Program. There's a two-page spread on ACT headquarters and what they're doing here. But you can find all of the detailed information in the magazine. So yeah. we ask you to look for it. It's full of information, great pictures, scheduling of events and whatnot.
Yeah, and we should note that some of you may be more familiar or may previously have been familiar with the reference to Supreme Allied Command Atlantic, and now it's Allied Command Transformation. How did that happen? I remember it was some years ago, but do either of you, I don't remember what the evolution of that was.
I think General Jones would be the best one to discuss that.
You're right. The Allied Command for Transformation celebrated its 10th anniversary last year in 2013. Okay. It was formally formed in 2003 after the summit in 2002, which decided in the post-Cold War reconstructing of the NATO command structure. You no longer needed a four-star maritime command of itself here in the United States, but we wanted to maintain a strategic headquarters here. So our sister strategic headquarters in Mons, in Belgium, the Allied Command for Operations, which is the headquarters that has conducted the operation in Afghanistan, oversaw operations in Libya and elsewhere, stays where it is and becomes the overall military operational headquarters. The headquarters here, in and of itself, transformed into a headquarters that looks to forge the future for NATO. That means that we support NATO strategic thinking, looking out at the horizon, horizon scanning, 2020, 2030. We look to design forces on behalf of our nations. We look to develop capabilities. And when I mean capabilities, I'm talking about intelligence, surveillance, reconnaissance, command and control, all these other sort of military hardware, which is more than military hardware. It's a whole systems approach to it. And we also provide all the training, education, doctrine, standards across the whole of NATO that makes NATO interoperable and usable in the near term.
This interoperability thing, I know, has been something that the alliance has been working on since the dawn of the alliance, really, and will continue to be an issue moving forward.
It's absolutely central to NATO as a military alliance to be able to operate together, to be able to have common standards that allow us to interoperate across 28 nations that themselves will have very different cultures, very different sovereign needs, very different equipment. And we have to find ways to bring them together to operate.
And how do you do that? I mean, I'm just thinking, I guess a piece of that is equipment, and I know there have been some progress on that, the ability of equipment to talk to each other and across those kinds of systems.
Yeah, so one of the pillars of this, of course, is defense planning, which is a relatively unglamorous part of the strategic persistence. But working with nations on their own sovereign defense plan, in other words, how many men, women, how many bits of kit they're going to buy and things like that, to try and build interoperability by design into those capabilities from the outset. And that takes years, sometimes decades, to persist with nations over that, such that you end up by design with a whole load of stuff that can interoperate together. Now, at the other end of the scale, we have a very active NATO exercise program. For example, this next month we have what we call a Collective Defence Article 5 exercise running in the Mediterranean that brings all these things together in the near term. So the nations not only have equipment that can operate together, but men, women, doctrine, practices, all those data standards, everything else that make them interoperate, can actually be practiced. And we build in all the emerging things, such as ballistic missile defense, cyber defense, all the sort of what we would call comprehensive approach, how you build the IOs, NGOs, the civilian components of a comprehensive approach to operations together. And the idea is to continually train that, not only so you're ready now in near term, but also you're continually developing. You're continually staying ahead of the game, if you like. And that's the component of NATO that this headquarters provides.
You know, it occurs to me that this, like so many things, when things are going well, and it's they're going well because a relationship has been established and maintained, you know, it's really hard to remind people of that over time and the value of that. And as you point out, it's a great word, and it certainly is one that applies, which is persistence. You know, and you just have to keep at it. Well, Trish Carrier, I'm hoping you get some sleep soon because
I appreciate that.
You know, it's all coming down to it here.
It is.
Isn't
we're
it?
Very excited, though.
You should
I'm
be
very
because
excited.
You've done a great job of creating a marvelous week of activities, culminating in next weekend, which will really be all of the great big activities and a great. Speaking of transformation, a great job of transforming the festival as well. So thank you for being with us today.
Thank you for having us.
Mel Branch, thank you for being the volunteer leadership
on
this. You do a lot of great work in the community. And when you're involved in something, we know it's going to be great, and I think it will be. Now, are you going to be hoisting steins this weekend? Is that going to be happening for you?
Maybe.
Next weekend, I should say.
Might be.
I trust I shall be there with my handy iPhone if such a thing occurs.
You can join in the contest yourself?
I can. I will not have the dressed-up dog, so I think that is probably where I will be. But the idea here with this with the festival is going to be great because 28 nations, you know, food, booths, activities, everything you can imagine from 28 activities, 28 nations, which is why we say you can visit 28 nations without leaving Hampton Roads. General Phil Jones, thank you so much for being with us today, and we appreciate your being here.
Well, it's my pleasure,
and
my
welcome
honor.
Welcome to your family
and
to all of your colleagues at NATO Allied Command Transformation. Meredith Arndt, continued success to you. I want you to really focus on your goals so you're not so
will,
all over
you.
The place. But I think you're going to be very successful in whatever you decide to do.
Thank you so much, and thank you for having me today.
You're very welcome, and I hope that a lot of young people will know about this program. It's really a great experience, not just to sit in that room and have to
right.
noodle these issues out, right? Noodle, it's a diplomatic term. to have to figure all this stuff out and learn about collaboration and consensus. But also, we should point out, a great opportunity to compete for a scholarship.
Yes.
And nobody is saying no to college money these days, I heard. And so Meredith is the winner of the NATO Fest Model NATO Challenge Scholarship Competition. Well done.
Thank you.
Talbot High School Junior, and she is the junior class president there at Talbot, where she is in the Global Studies program. So again, everything you want to know is on the website, and it's going to be a great weekend. This is coming up next weekend, so enjoy the weekend that comes up and get ready for this one. The weather, if we have 40 degree weather heading into this, there will be no justice.
I'm doing a sun dance.
Right?
I do sun
I know
dances
you are.
Every night.
I do not doubt that. I think you've picked an absolutely perfect weekend, and we have earned some nice weather after this.
Oh yes.
General, it's not usually like this here. I know everybody's probably said that to you. It's not usually this cold here. Am I right?
You are right.
Not usually this cold and not usually this much snow. So we hope for better in your second year with us.
Thanks
so very much for being with us today. And again, thanks to our good friends who are joining us visiting today from the Virginia Peninsula Chamber of Commerce Youth Lead Program. I think I got everything in today's show. If I didn't, it's too bad now because it's Thursday. That makes it our Friday. So have a great weekend, and we'll see you right back here on Monday.